What is going on, OWS fam? Welcome to week 17. This is going to be a player grid update and a Bink Machine rules update all rolled into one. Might be some pauses because end of the day, throat still hurts. End of the day, start of the day. This is the end of the day. So on the player here in the player grid in the Bink Machine, this little player, there's the three dots on the side. You can use that to speed up the playback speed to 2x if you want to. Okay. Sorry. Okay. Wanted to run through exposures, how I'm seeing the slate, kind of position by position real quickly, and then I'll get to my rules for the Bink Machine. So, quarterback, highest owned quarterback for me is Tyrod Taylor, and that's primarily from a roster construction standpoint. So, obviously, talked about him throughout the week, the reasons I like him. It's not so much that he's my favorite quarterback on the slate, it's just that I like this roster construction, so that's about a quarter of my builds. Other guys with double-digit ownership, all kind of between 10% and 15%, are C.J. Stroud, Derek Carr, Patrick Mahomes, and Brock Purdy. Stroud, particularly interesting because he's averaging the same DraftKings points per game as Purdy. Purdy has 8 games of 23-plus DraftKings points. Stroud has 5 games of 23-plus DraftKings points, has missed a few games. Also, you know, Stroud's average is the same as Purdy's, but with fewer games of 23-plus points because he has that 45-pointer and the 33-pointer, which both outscore what Purdy's best games have been. Have to have a game against Tennessee, and not as good of a matchup as what Purdy has against Washington. Obviously, as we know, Tennessee's really good in the red zone. But just a really interesting spot when you look at the ownership disparity, right? Where Stroud coming in at 0.9%, Purdy at 10.5%. Purdy's a better play, but not significantly better play. So my ownership allocation isn't totally hammered in, but right now Stroud's at like 16%, Purdy at 12%. So again, I like them both, but I really like this Purdy, this Stroud angle in a spot where people just aren't playing him. Carr 14%, Mahomes 14%. So again, these could be a little bit fluid. And then under 10%, like all of these around like 6%-ish. Hurts, Lamar Jackson, Tua a little bit below them, 4%. Hurts, Lamar Jackson, Matthew Stafford, Will Levis. And that's kind of large field stuff. And any of those could be pulled onto a tighter build, but primary focus on tighter builds would be those first guys I mentioned. Running back, I spent a lot of the week hammering the angle of this pay up at wide receiver build, so I do want to make it clear, really like Christian McCaffrey and Kyren Williams. Actually, this is a good point to basically say my kind of core focus thesis this weekend is get a 49ers piece on as many rosters as possible, get a Rams piece on as many rosters as possible, get a Texans wide receiver on as many rosters as possible, ideally 100% of rosters. And then in the places where I don't have CMC or Kyren Williams, try to get as many triple pay up at wide receiver rosters as I can. So I hammer that triple pay up at wide receiver build. So I want to make it clear, still really like Christian McCaffrey, really like Kyren Williams, and they're part of my, you know, try to get as many rosters with a 49ers piece, as many rosters with a Rams piece approach and thesis this week. So McCaffrey, about 30%, Kyren, about 30%, actually have them in at 24 to 32%, so it gives that flexibility. Lots of exposure on Zamir White, and then Raheem Mostert going to be out. So Achan typically sees like around 30 to 36 snaps. Mostert often sees like 40 to 45. They don't tend to want to give Jeff Wilson the ball a ton, but they also haven't shown a willingness to totally unleash Achan. So I would think that Achan ends up in more like the 45 snap range, but that's still a material bump on what he's been seeing, a 25%, even like 40, 50% bump on what he's been seeing in terms of snaps. Obviously, they use him between the tackles less, or, you know, they're kind of an off-tackle rushing attack, but they use him in, like, the actual run game less and in the pass game more. But with Mostert out and with Jeff Wilson not bringing the same explosiveness to this offense, I would almost just expect them to adjust and be a little bit more pass-leaning, especially against a Ravens team that most teams lean more pass-leaning against anyway. So all that to say, I think Achane will be involved and have this. When you look at his price tag and the other guys priced around him, Bijan Robinson, DeAndre Swift, Joe Mixon, Travis Etienne, even Zeke isn't like that much cheaper than, he's only 700 cheaper than Devon Achane. So when you kind of put them in the same bucket as those guys, these deep breaths are, because I got to do that so I'm not coughing, put them in the same bucket as those guys, and you see the really just like the nice range of outcomes that he has. So basically, like, would it shock us if Bijan Robinson gets 12 points, if Swift gets 11 or 12 points, if Etienne gets 11 or 12 points, if Mixon gets 11 or 12 points, all these guys, right? Well, same thing with Devon Achane. If he gets 11 or 12 points, I think the people kind of come into a spot like this and like, yeah, but what if he misses, right? What if he gets 10 points? And it's like, well, so can everybody else priced around him. But Achane is also, like, what are the chances that Bijan Robinson puts up 35 to 40? What are the chances that even DeAndre Swift puts up 35 to 40, that Mixon puts up 35 to 40, that Etienne puts up 35 to 40? So in that regard, I think the Achane is actually really interesting. So I haven't figured out quite my exposure on him yet, but he's entered into kind of the core part of my pool. Etienne, Bijan Robinson, Joe Mixon, Ezekiel Elliott, none of these guys were in my player grid, but all are in my MME pool. And I have a thin enough running back list that, especially with Clyde Edwards-Hilaire salary saver gone, these guys are going to end up on tighter builds for me as well. James Conner and Devin Singletary have been added to my list as far as like guys I'm actually going to try to play. James Conner, kind of similar to what I said with Achane, obviously not with the same ceiling, but this idea of there's certain players, certain names that we look at and we think about the downside. And so we do that with James Conner, obviously not a great matchup against the Eagles, but like everybody is comfortable playing Ezekiel Elliott, but then they don't want to play James Conner. And James Conner, with how banged up the Cardinals are, is so central to this offense. So his last three games, it's been, actually, let me pull this up. I think it was like 17 and 22 across his last three games in terms of DraftKings points. Sorry, and not even that. It's 17.9, so rounded up to 18. 18, 22, and 25 are, you know, ascending of his last three games. So, you know, everyone's kind of looking at Zeke and they're like, hey, he can get you 20 points because of all the targets and whatnot. And here's James Conner, who's gone 18 to 25 and a half in three straight games. So I think he's pretty interesting as a guy who just kind of goes overlooked, and he can hit that same score. Like Zeke can end up with the 12-pointer. Conner can end up with the 25-pointer, and that's like a really nice separator. And then Singletary had a big game against Tennessee last time Stroud was out. So I don't put a lot of stock in that, but you know, still an interesting play, another way to save salary and kind of create this pay-up build. So kind of my list is Christian McCaffrey, Kyren Williams, Jonathan Taylor, Devon Achane, DeAndre Swift, James Conner, Devin Singletary, Zamir White. And then I've also got Zeke, Mixon, Bijan Robinson, Etienne in my large field pool, and I'm totally comfortable playing some of those guys on tighter builds. So it's like I'm not going out of my way to play them, but they're not significantly, they weren't in my player pool, but they're also not like significant underdogs to the guys who are in my player pool. So if I see a roster I like with one of those guys on it, I'll be totally happy to play it, as in I won't be considering that to be like the ninth piece on a roster where it's like, hey, this guy's not high confidence, and so got to make sure the rest of the roster is high confidence. Like, these guys are basically as high confidence as the other guys in my pool. They just didn't really stand out to me by the research, but totally comfortable with any of them on tighter builds. Wide receiver is actually more narrow than I realized when I kind of looked at it in the player grid. It was a lengthy list. It felt like a lengthy list, but then when I actually look at it, you know, putting it into the Bink machine, the way it all shakes out, not really a large list at all, because again, I'm kind of focused on these handful of offenses and spots. Right now, I'm trying to see if I can get basically 70% Nico Collins and 30% Noah Brown. So if you're late to the party, if you missed the player grid or missed my write-up or whatever, you know, we're looking at starting from week two on. Stroud has 11 healthy games. He had that weird three-game stretch where he didn't play well. Take out those three games. In the other eight games, there's been a Texans wideout posting 26-plus DraftKings points. Obviously, multiple games of like 35-plus, 30-plus. So basically, you know, take out that three-game stretch, and it's been 100% that we've gotten a 26-plus point score from one of these wideouts. So Nico and Noah Brown, again, that's not saying you should be doing this. It's just saying that's one of the stances that I'm comfortable taking this week. And if I'm wrong, then I don't win the weekend. You know what I mean? But if I'm right, then I'm right. Like, then all of my rosters like are way ahead or 70% of my rosters or 30% of my rosters on a cheap guy who's low-owned are correct, right? So between that and Debo and Ayuk and Puka and Kupp, that's like a lot of my wide receiver ownership soaked up. And then, you know, beyond that, it's like, how much Tyreek Hill can I fit in? How much AJ Brown can I fit in? A little bit of Mike Evans on my Saints builds and only on my Saints builds. Rashee Rice only on my Patrick Mahomes builds. Olave, obviously, my Carr builds will be double stacks. I'll get to my rules here in a minute. With Olave and Shaheed, DeAndre Hopkins, primarily, as we talked about, primarily on Titans builds, or primarily on Texans builds. But again, I have, since I'm going to try to go 100% Texans wideouts, Hopkins can kind of go anywhere. A little bit of Adam Thielen, Zay Flowers, again, Noah Brown, and then going sub 5K, my list of guys sub 5K are Jackson Smith-Njigba, Rashid Shaheed, Odell Beckham, Demario Douglas, Greg Dortch, and Michael Wilson. Kind of feeling comfortable going like really heavy Greg Dortch because same thing. It's like if I miss, right, there's going to be a lot of people who miss below 5K. And so it's either mix and match a ton of options and have, you know, like 8% of this guy and 6% of this guy, so on and so forth, or it's like take a stand on a couple guys. So Demario Douglas wasn't in the player grid, but I'm kind of right now leaning toward 20% Demario Douglas. Leaning toward 40%+ Rashid Shaheed, 40%+ Greg Dortch, and then around 20% Michael Wilson. So again, not similar to the Texans thing, not saying this is, quote, the way to build. It's just giving you a sense of where I'm trying to take stands. If you've listened to enough of my stuff, you understand how I put together rosters, that I like to give myself a few kind of core bets so that if I get those right across all my rosters are kind of a couple steps ahead. And then that gives me a chance to, you know, obviously need fewer things to go right in order to get one of those first place finishes. Tight end, again, Kittle soaks up a chunk of ownership. And then the other, you know, I'm trying to do a little bit of Pat Freiermuth and some Chig Okonkwo to kind of save salary because I'll need that in some places. They're not really on my list, but they're guys I'm willing to play. I'd like to get a lot of Darren Waller, Isaiah Likely, Trey McBride, and then Travis Kelce. Well, actually, that brings us over to rules. Defense is the same as the player grid state. So let's go over to rules. And so if you're a Bink Machine user, you can upload my rules. As always, make sure that you download your own groups first if you've created any so that you don't lose those. You can then upload those after looking at mine, or you can just listen to what I'm doing and get a sense here. So it's been a couple weeks since we've done this, so just that quick refresher. You can use my presets, you can add your own rules back onto it, or you can just switch to my presets, look at them, and then upload yours back in. Or you can just listen to the voice note and kind of hear my rules. Again, if you upload my groups, some of my rules will not apply to your player pool, and you might not want to use some of my rules. So you can also just listen to this and get a sense of what I'm doing. Okay, really interesting week in that, you know, I set my build settings I set my team stack settings in the team stacks tabs as 100% team stacks because I don't want any of my quarterbacks naked. And then my player pool, because my player pool is kind of so narrow, it actually kind of works out a lot of my rules for me. There's not a ton of rules this week. So first rule, if you're in the Bink Machine, you want to follow along. First rule is labeled Texans wide receivers. This rule has Nico Collins, Noah Brown, no anchor, and it says 100% of rosters, minimum one, maximum one. So 100% of rosters have one of the players from this pool. So with my prescribed allocation of basically 66 to 74% Nico to get like around 70%, and then 26% to 34% Noah Brown to get around 30%, this then says try to leave no rosters with none of these guys. Try to leave no overlap of these guys. 100% of rosters have one or the other of these guys, and it'll get it right in that 70-30 split, like right in that range. Next is Hurts bring back. If I'm playing Hurts, because I'm going to have a lot of James Conner, Trey McBride, Greg Dortch, Michael Wilson, it would be pointless to, like, if I didn't have heavy Cardinals exposure, I wouldn't be saying, oh my gosh, if I play Hurts, I've got to play a Cardinals piece. You can play Hurts without a Cardinals bring back. But because I have so much Cardinals, I don't want to have, like, it would be pointless to then have all this Cardinals exposure and then I have a Hurts roster with no Cardinals on it. So all of my Hurts rosters, 100% of Hurts rosters will have one to two of these Cardinals pieces. If I'm playing Rashee Rice, I want Mahomes. So that's this next rule, Rashee plus Mahomes. Rams doubles. If I have Kupp and Nacua together, which I don't really even like that pairing, but if I have Kupp and Nacua together, have to have Stafford. So I have a the Bink Machine is set up that I can have two Rams without Stafford. So that allows Kyren and Kupp, Kyren and Puka. We've explored this throughout the season. You can get it basically again, 55-ish points. Talked about this in the Angles pod. But you can generally get about 55 points from Kyren plus the right wide receiver. And we haven't had a tournament winner from Stafford yet. So point being, it can be viable to play Kyren and one of these wide receivers without Stafford. So I'm fine having two Rams in the flex. But this says if you're going to put if the two Rams you're going to put in the flex are Kupp and Nacua, don't do that without Stafford. Because if those two wide receivers are hitting together, Stafford's probably hitting. So this excludes Kupp and Nacua from being able to be played together without Stafford. San Francisco single pass catcher. I don't want to, similarly, we've explored this throughout the season. When CMC hits, there's a lot of times when CMC hits and it elevates the chances of one of the wide receivers or one of the pass catchers on the 49ers hitting. So I'm willing to have two 49ers pieces, especially since I have some cheap quarterbacks I like. I'm willing to have two 49ers pieces without Purdy, but I don't want those two 49ers pieces to be Debo and Ayuk or Debo and Kittle. Because again, if Debo and Ayuk are both hitting for tournament winners, Purdy's probably hitting for a tournament winner. So I'm willing to have CMC and a pass catcher, but not two pass catchers without Purdy. So this says on 100% of rosters, have zero or one of the players in this pool. So I will not have double San Francisco pass catchers on any rosters. Next rule is Carr doubles. If I have Carr, I want it to be Olave and Shaheed on those rosters. Next roster is Levis. If I have Will Levis, I want it to be DeAndre Hopkins. He could conceivably hit a tourney winner with Chig Okonkwo, but that's far less likely. So I'm just going to go ahead and say, you know, if I'm taking the higher risk, lower likelihood swing on Levis, I'm going to play it in the likeliest way for it to happen, right? He's a low-owned guy. It's a higher risk bet. So then rather than adding like another lower probability branch off of that, I'm going to take the highest probability branch so that, you know, if Levis does hit, how is he likeliest to hit? So that's how I'll play it. Levis will have Hopkins. Lamar bringbacks, I want, again, if Lamar is going to hit, it's probably going to be part of a game environment. So my, on 100% of Lamar rosters, I want Achan or Tyreek Hill. My typical rule with Kelce is if I have Kelce, I want Mahomes because like 90% of the time when Kelce hits for like a, you know, if he hits for 22 points, that doesn't mean that Mahomes is valuable. But if Kelce hits for a tournament winner, like we can go back years, like over 90% of the time, Mahomes is also hitting for a tournament winner. So as I always say, if you get that Kelce spot right, you're getting that Mahomes spot right. So you want to take advantage of it. I have an exception this week. My if Kelce rule is if I'm playing Kelce, I have to have Mahomes or Tyrod Taylor on that roster. So Tyrod you just go all the way the opposite direction in salary. You know, obviously I have some of the cheap guys I like too, Will Levis, Derek Carr. So I could have this rule with them. But Tyrod's all the way down, and all of my Tyrod is going to be paired with Darren Waller. So you get this really unique Tyrod Waller Kelsey pairing that I just don't think we'll see much, if at all, right? I could be the only person with with Tyrod Kelsey Waller rosters. So that is enough of an edge right there. So if I have Travis Kelsey, the quarterback has to be Mahomes or Tyrod Taylor. Tua bring backs. If I'm playing Tua, I want a bring back. So Zay Flowers, Isaiah Likely, Odell Beckham. If I'm playing CJ Stroud, I want a bring back, DeAndre Hopkins or Chig Okonkwo. Purdy plus a pass catcher. I don't want Purdy. I'm fine having CMC on Purdy rosters, but I don't want just Purdy and CMC. So all of my Purdy rosters have to have one of Debo, Ayuk, or Kittle. Same thing with Stafford. I'm comfortable playing Kyren on a Stafford roster, but I don't want that to be the only stacking partner. So quick note, actually, I did not create this rule for Jalen Hurts. So if I have Jalen Hurts, I'm willing to have Hurts and DeAndre Swift, not A.J. Brown, not Devontae Smith, because Hurts gets so much of his value from his rushing touchdowns, and Swift also gets value through the air at times. So there's this way that things could play out to where Hurts plus Swift is an optimal stack. So I'm totally fine with that one. Sorry. Stafford, if I have Stafford and Kyren, that's fine, but I want a wide receiver on that build as well. So 100% of my Stafford rosters have Kupp or Nacua. Stafford bring back, since I like Waller, similar thing, right? You don't have to have a bring back, but since I like Waller, I want to get a lot of Waller. It makes sense that where I'm playing Stafford, I'm playing a lot more Waller than I'm playing Stafford. So where I'm playing Stafford, might as well get that Waller on there. So 100% of my Stafford rosters will have Waller. Similar thing with Tyrod, going to be playing tons of Rams. So it would be kind of silly to have Rams on 80, 85, 90% of my rosters, then have a Tyrod roster with no Rams on them. So 100% of my Tyrod rosters will have one to two of these pieces, Kyren, Kupp, and Nacua. Mike Evans will only be played with Derek Carr for me. And then if Tua, I want to have Tyreek Hill on those rosters. So Tua plus Achan could hit, but, you know, Tua doesn't run the ball at all. So if Tua's hitting, it's going to have to be like a 4-touchdown game, a 5-touchdown game. And with no Waddle, Tyreek is going to see over 40% of the targets, right? Or that's what he's done so, like, traditionally without Waddle on the field in this offense. So just makes sense that if I'm playing Tua, I want to play Tyreek Hill. So that is it. Those are my rules. Those are updates on my player pool. That's a 12-minute listen if you threw this on 2x speed. So with that, I'm going to rest my voice, wrap up some things here, and get some rest. So I will see you. We're not too far away. I'll see you at the top of the leaderboards just a few hours from now.